Some of you may notice that we changed the side of the screen tonight, and everyone on this side told me that I put it on the wrong side tonight, but I felt it's finally time for those on this side to be able to see what we're doing. So if you feel like you need to move tonight, then you can get up and move anywhere along the way. But as you see that on the one side and it's empty on the other, let me say to you folks that one of the things that we really need to do in days to come is to get two projectors in so we can see it both on either side. It can be mirrored up there for you so you don't have to be ducking your head around someone or trying to see. You can just look to where you can see. But tonight, as we begin our time of study, I'm going to begin to start a series of messages that I've entitled The Church in Focus. And you can see there tonight that I also have underneath of it the three key words to the motto that we have chosen as a church, or that I've chosen as your pastor for us this year, which really is based in the truth of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, that we would grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm also from Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, which reminds us that we're to be established in the truth, or grounded in the truth of God's Word. And then no doubt the truth and the reality that we find even in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 there, even as we mentioned this morning, along with Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission, which tells us that we're to go forth into the world in love. And so we as a church ought to be seeking to be growing. We ought to be seeking to remain grounded, settled in the truth, and really settled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we ought to be desiring to then take that which we've been given and go forth into the world in love. But we want to focus our thoughts on that thought, the church in focus. And I've chosen that title because I want us to begin, as we go through this series of messages and really series of thoughts, I want us as a congregation to clearly see what the Lord has for us in the days ahead. I want to have a clear view. I want to have a clear understanding. Some of the things that I'm going to begin to share with you tonight are going to be a reminder if you were here on Friday night. But I wanted to begin at the beginning, and I wanted to do some of these things Friday night in our annual meeting. But in all fairness, the more and more I put the annual meeting together, the more I realized there is no way for me to accomplish everything that needed to be accomplished in the time that we had. And so we want to begin to look at some things that we as a church ought to be considering and looking forward to. And I want us to have everything in focus. You have heard me say in the past that a vision for the work of God is extremely important. In fact, in Proverbs 29 in verse 18, we have that familiar verse, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And it's important that we as God's people have a vision for this church and for the day and age in which we live. Understanding what it is that God would have for us at this time, in this place, that we would be to the praise and honor and glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. You've heard me say in the past that the vision, or I've used this passage before, and I believe I've said this with you before, that that concept of a vision in which people will perish is really twofold. It's a twofold vision that we need to understand, and even tonight. And I want to remind you of some of these things before we continue on with things later tonight. But as we consider a vision and having things in their proper focus, the twofold portion to that that I consider when I come to Proverbs 29 is simply this. First of all, a vision taught. I believe it's important that the leadership, the pastor of the church, have a vision from God and be able to clearly communicate that to the people of God. God has established and he has ordained that the church be under the headship and the direction of, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, but under him, his under-shepherd, the pastor. And that through the pastor, he would be able to preach and teach and share with them the vision that God has. God also has raised up within our church not only pastors, but also deacons. And they're a part of our leadership team. And I have shared this with our deacons in the past, and I'll always share it with them, that we are all part of the leadership. And the Bible does teach a plurality of leadership. There are many leaders within the church. But there is a singularity of headship. And so it's the responsibility of the pastor to preach and to teach that which God has ordained for His church. And it's responsibility that if the pastor doesn't have a vision and the leadership doesn't understand that vision and communicate that vision, then people all around us will perish. And it's going to start, folks, right here. It's going to start within the church. God's people won't be taught, and God's people won't be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's people will stop being grounded in the truth, and they'll begin to shift and take their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. So a vision must first be taught. But secondly, would you notice with me, it's a vision that has to be caught. And what I mean by that is simply this. The people of God must be willing to follow the leadership that God has ordained. And they must be willing to seek to understand that vision that God has given and then make it their very own. Folks, where there is no vision, people will perish. And that's twofold. It begins up top with the leadership that God has ordained. They must understand what it is that God wants to do. Because, folks, the reality is we are all brought to such a time as this. And we are, as a church, in a certain place, in a certain time in our history. We sit amidst a community in a certain type of culture, and we have a responsibility to relate to them and to help them and to bring to them the gospel. So that we need to understand the vision that God would have. But that vision, as it is communicated, needs to be caught. We need to be willing to understand that vision and check that vision with the Scripture and be able to say, I see that vision, and then make it our very own, that God would be honored and glorified. Over the next few weeks, I want to try to clarify for all of us what I believe God desires for us at this time. Again, Solomon declared in Ecclesiastes 3 that to everything there is a season and a time under heaven. And folks, God's church is no different. We have been brought to this season of time. We have to be willing to adjust to the changes that God has brought our way, that we might effectively minister in our day. All of us are called, each and every one, called to be a faithful steward of all that God has entrusted to us. Sometimes we talk about stewardship and we look at that simply from the realm of monetary possessions. We understand to be a good steward means I take good care of my money. But folks, we have been made stewards not only of things monetary and the business of a church, but we have been made stewards of a ministry. And we are responsible to be good stewards of God's ministry, His church. So I want us to begin to clearly see and to focus on what God wants us to do for what He has entrusted us in these days. Before we go any further tonight, I want to bow and have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to consider some things together this evening. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time that You have given us tonight to come and consider together truth from Your Word, truth that will guide us and truth that can help us to be effective and minister in this current generation. Father, we ask and pray tonight that You would help us to see clearly what You have in store for us as a congregation in the days ahead. And Lord, although we won't be able to clearly lay out the entire vision in one service tonight, we want to begin to review the goodness of our God and see what He has done, that we might be able to reflect upon that and be ready for the work that You have for us in the days ahead. Father, You are a God who is good and a God who is gracious, merciful to us, Word. And Father, we pray that You would help us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we'll thank You and we'll praise You for all that can be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were with us on Friday night at our annual meeting, you heard me say as I began my pastoral report that I really struggled throughout the week to be able to figure out what it was I wanted to say at our annual meeting. And it really isn't because I didn't have anything to say. Sometimes you come to meetings and go, I don't really know what I'm supposed to say. That wasn't my problem. The problem is I had probably too much to say. And so how are we going to begin to communicate these things and get all of it accomplished? And again, there's no way for us to accomplish in an annual meeting, which really is to focus on the business of our church, and also, as our church has established, to deal with establishing a new budget for a new year. And it's really hard as the pastor to be able to really lay out everything that you want to say about where we believe the church ought to go in the new year. And folks, I want to begin over the next few weeks to begin to lay some of those things out so that you see and understand exactly what we believe the Lord has for us. And I want to begin by helping us see and sharing things that I believe we need to address in the year to come and the days ahead. As we begin tonight, I want to take some time and review the good hand of the Lord. If you were with us Friday night, we did some of this, and I'm going to reiterate some of that together tonight. And you may say, well, I heard this on Friday night. Well, I want you to be reminded of it again, because I think it's really important that as we begin to get things really in focus, that we understand the goodness of our God. Because, folks, that really is the foundation. It is the basis of what we're going to attempt to do in the days ahead. I am going to ask, and the deacons are going to come to you, and we're going to be in agreement, we're going to be unified, and we're going to say there's a need for us to continue to step out by faith. We did that Friday night. We put out a budget that requires us to step out again in faith. And we adopted that budget as a church. And I'm excited about the budget that we have, and I'm excited with what we're able to do with that. And there's more I like to reach for and more I like to try to do. But sometimes we have to take them in smaller steps than we would like to. But we're taking a step of faith. But the basis of that step of faith really comes back to my understanding of all that God has done. And He has proven to me time and time again what He is able to do. And tonight I want to review with you the good things that God has done. In this past year, we as a church have seen the Lord provide for our needs as only He can do. You know, since my family and I arrived here in 2008, I have marveled at really how the Lord has met the needs of our church. Yet I'm reminded, though, that one of the greatest dangers for the church today, as we see God provide, is the danger of complacency. I think sometimes we fail to see the goodness of the Lord. We fail to understand that it is the Lord that has done these things, and it is to Him that glory should be given. Folks, I understand that when we meet a budget, we do so by faithful giving. But that faithful giving is able to happen because of the faithfulness of God who provides for all of your needs. He gives you all things. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every material blessing you have was given to you by Almighty God. Not by your sweat, not by your wisdom, but the goodness of the Lord. And folks, we need to see the goodness of God. For when we fail to see the goodness of God, we're going to fail to see things in their proper view. Friday night, Weston, as he gave our treasurer's report, related this truth concerning our church's budget. And I liked it, so I'm stealing it tonight. Our church's budget is like the widow's cruse of oil there in Zarephath with Elijah. I got to be honest with you. I will look every week to see what comes in the offerings. One of the first things I ask Carla when I enter into the office is, how did we do in the offering last night? Now, I'll be honest. I'm not asking because I'm afraid. I'm not asking because there's fear. I'm asking because God has laid it upon my shoulders to manage this ministry. So I want to know where we are. And so constantly I will ask, how do we do? Where are we today? Because I need to be able to make decisions as to what we're going to do, what we're going to allow. And the other question that I ask is not only how do we do in the offering, but where does that leave our bank account? Well, sometimes she gets a little scared to tell me what's in the bank account. Well, Pastor, it's a little low today. That's okay. Sometimes she's a little afraid to say, well, this is only what came in. And my response is almost always the same. And you can ask Ray this, as he used to drop off the teller's report. No matter what number he said to me, my answer was almost always the same. Praise the Lord! Because I know the needs are met for that week. You say, that might be a low offering. That's okay. God meets the need. And folks, every time we have dipped into the barrel of oil, there have been the things that we have needed. We have never gone without. I am able to say to Carla, and Lowell has backed me up as the chairman of my deacons, when the bill comes in, pay it. And they're paid in full. And folks, we have never been without. Our God is good. But folks, we look at that, and as we see that, I want you to understand that it really is the goodness of the Lord. God said to Elijah, go and speak unto Ahab. And he went. And he declared that judgment was coming. And God said, now I'm going to take care of you. Go live by the brook Cherith. And then it dried up. And God said, now go to Zarephath. I'm going to take care of you there. How? By a widow who was ready to have her last meal, starve and die. And the meal never ran out. And the oil never ran dry. Now folks, I got to be honest with you. As your pastor, it excites me that week by week, we can just as a church walk by faith. I can tell you of churches that have large bank accounts. I remember talking to a pastor a long time ago. I went to his church and I was visiting with him. He said, I want to tell you the good things that God has done. I said, okay, what's that? He said, we had a whole bunch of people die in our church. I thought, well, that's a weird way to begin your statement. He said, but every one of them that died left us some money. And so we have it all invested. He goes, you know what the great thing is? I said, what's that? He says, my church doesn't have to tithe, and for 10 years I can keep operating. I thought, boy, have you missed it. Folks, I'm not worried about having a great deal of excess. I want to walk and live by faith as a church because God honors faith. And I am very happy that that's where we are at. And I think it's a great thing that we walk by faith and not by sight. Say, Pastor, would you be happy with the large sum of money that came in? Sure. But understand, when it comes in, it's going out. Because I think we ought to invest it in things eternal. But folks, as I look week after week, I see the good hand of the Lord. And I'm able to echo, as Paul would say in Philippians 4 and verse 19, that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. He does supply. But we don't go without. And folks, I think we as a church have been seeing in our ministry the good hand of our God. As we do that tonight, as we review the good hand of God, there's several things I want to just point to you and to your attention. First of all, I want you to understand that we are taking a step of faith. And we have taken a step of faith this last year. I actually like the little picture that's there because I think it's a good symbol. Sometimes it's easy to get comfortable in our little fish bowls. But the step of faith is to leap out of that one and into a bigger one and trust that everything's going to be just fine. Folks, we as a church this last year took a step of faith. 2011 was a step of faith, and so is 2012. And I want to remind you of that step of faith, and I want to remind you of the goodness of the Lord. We stepped out last year by faith in our finances. I want to remind you what we did. Number one, we increased our budget. I'm going to give you a little bit of a insight as to how things work when it's time that we come to budgeting. Usually we come in and it's time to begin the budget process and the deacons and I will meet. We typically have the reports in front of us and we begin to share and I begin to lay out what I believe the Lord would want us to do, and we begin to look at some of those numbers and we begin to go through that budget line by line and category by category, and I say, this is really what I believe we need to have this year. We get to the end and we find the total. And I'll be honest, there's been a couple times we've gotten that total and my deacon said, Pastor, did you add that up yet? Yep. Can we take that step? Absolutely. Folks, it's a step of faith. And last year we increased our budget. Last year, we added new debt. We call it a capital improvement plan or program. We've added debt to the church that we didn't have so that we can raise the level of our facilities to a place that they should be at. We have facilities 25 some odd years old. Things begin to break down and things need to be repaired and we need to plan for the future. So we've taken on a plan and we're going to talk more about that plan in the weeks to come. But folks, we added to our church debt. Some struggled with that concept. Some didn't think it was wise. Some didn't think we should do it. I was convinced that we should. On top of all of that, I said, let's go hire more staff. Now folks, you look at those three things and you have to come to the conclusion, I think my pastor's nuts. Increase a budget, add debt, and go buy and hire new staff? I don't think he's thinking clearly. You may feel that way. Folks, I can be honest with you. I can tell you my mind's thinking pretty clearly because I know it's what the Lord wanted me to do. And that he wanted us to do. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God does lead and direct through the study of his word and through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, through the counsel of the men like our deacons. And folks, I stand before you absolutely confident that that was the right step to do. It was a step of faith. Some didn't agree, some didn't understand. But I know it's the right thing to do. We faced our challenges. We overcame our obstacles that were put in our way. I listened to some as they would grumble and complain. Yet at the end, you know what I found God to be this year? What he's always been. Faithful. Our God is faithful. Folks, he asked us to step out in faith. And I'll remind you in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. He wants you and I to live by that faith, that trust in him. That doesn't mean we always do what's logical in our minds. You understand that? Faith sometimes causes us to do things that logic would say isn't necessarily the best thing to do. Do you really think Elijah's faith, and that it was logical for him to say, let's leave a dried up brook and go live with a widow who doesn't have any food or any oil? But folks, if he didn't go to Zarephath and live with the widow, he never would experience the good hand of God supplied for him every single day, because that's where God wanted him. That wasn't logical, but it was right. God asked us to take a step of faith. We took that step of faith. We add it to our budget. We add it to our debt. We add it to our staff. You know, as we finish the year, we reported this to you Friday night, in our budget, in our givings, and in our receipts, we were spot on. 100% to our givings, 100% to our expenditures. And I think we can only say that God has been faithful and he has been good. That new debt that we talked about that we added on, we added $20,000 of debt last year. That debt was added on in October. In 5 months, we paid off $6,000 of that debt. God, folks, is good. I want you to see His goodness because we took a step of faith. We're able to echo with the psalmist, "We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So now let us come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." God is good. God asks us to take a step of faith, and He has honored that step of faith, and His goodness has been seen to us. There's another thing that I want you to see in relation to this review of God's good hand, and that is this: a job well done. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40 tells us that we are to do all things decently and in order. Last year we came to you with a need for our church, specifically within the realm of our academy, that there were some major upgrades that needed to be done to that facility. Primarily the boys' bathroom. That's what's pictured there for you now, the completed bathroom. Last summer, we endeavored to take on this project. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. You look at the building sometimes, you think, that's kind of a small building. That was a rather large project, and it was rather ambitious for what we did. You say, "Pastor, what did we do?" Well, if you weren't here, let me tell you. Number one, we completely gutted the boys' bathroom. We placed everything in it: the partitions, the toilets, the urinals, the sinks, the countertops, the mirrors, and the new flooring. I can tell you one thing. I am very good at destruction. I am not real good at construction. I had no problem going in with the deacons and ripping that thing apart. And folks, we gutted it. And in many places, right down to the studs, because it had to be. We repaired, we replaced, we had new piping run for new urinals. We put all new products back in to our boys' bathroom. We gave the girls' washroom a minor makeover with new paint, new mirrors, new sinks and counters. We replaced the carpet in the entryway in Mr. Pickett's office. We repainted his office. We gave him new shelving. We removed the old metal lockers that in many ways were a hazard to our young people because the doors wouldn't close, sharp metal edges right about their eye and head level. We put in new cabinets. We created new counter space for the lunchroom. We brought new furniture. We built new cubbies to store the students' books and their belongings. We removed the old offices that were hanging in the main learning center. We repaired all the walls and we painted every room. On top of that, once all that was done, we decided to strip and wax the floors in the whole academy plus the gymnasium. And we had 2 months to get it done. School ended at the end of June, and it starts in the beginning of September. And after school was out, we went in and we ripped it apart. You know what our deacons' meeting was for the month of July? Destruction. With some minor repairs. But I gotta be honest with you, it was looking pretty rough for quite a while. Yet through it all, God supplied. We were given all that we needed, the strength and skills to complete the task. He supplied the help. He opened the doors for us to get all the items that we needed and to have available to us. One of the scary things that I had is once I ripped the bathroom apart and I thought to myself, what if the urinals don't come in on time? What if the toilets get back ordered and we can't get them? What if we call for the partitions and they can't come? What are we going to do? Because folks, I can't move the school date. It opens when it opens. And yet in all of those things and working with all those different people, everything literally just fell into place. And it was there the day we needed it there. Folks, God supplied. And a job well done was accomplished. And to those who worked and labored along with me to get that work done, again I say, thank you. Because the job is well done. And folks, when every day that I walk through that academy and every day I see the things that were accomplished and every day I walk through that front door and I don't smell it. Okay, if you understand what it was when you used to walk in there, you smelled that you were in the academy. Very similar to what you get downstairs as you walk in there if no one's been around for a while. It is a smelly mustiness that just smacks you right in the face. It's not there anymore. You walk into a boy's bathroom. Now, boy's bathrooms, if they're in use, are never clean. I'm sorry, but they're not. But it doesn't smell anymore. It used to smell all the time. We found mold behind our walls and treated it and took care of it as it should have been and have put the products in there that will keep that from ever happening again. God is good. A job was well done. We took a step of faith. God met our needs. Let me talk to you next about some answers to prayer. Since we arrived in 2008, you have heard me talk often about our youth and my desire for them. I've made it very clear from the day that I've candidated and every week that I've been here that I have a desire that we not lose one of our youth from this church. I want them to grow up to know God. I want them to grow up to serve God. I want them to grow up and love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's only so much as a pastor in a church as we can do. Mom and Dad, you're the key to that one. And if you think we're going to do it and you leave it in our hands, you're going to be sadly mistaken and sadly disappointed when it fails. It's our job to come alongside and support and to help, and we're doing those things. So from the very beginning of my time here, one of the first things that the deacons came and talked to me about in one of the first couple months of our meetings was, are you ready to go and get a youth pastor? Just got here. No. But I also knew we needed to get that process underway, and we started. And the Lord began to do some things, and a lot of things took place. And now, this last year, this last fall, we brought the Silvers in to be the full-time youth pastor of our church. Folks, that's an answer to prayer. I want you to see that when they walk in the door. It's an answer to prayer. Because we as a church said, we need that for our youth. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you don't know the process, it's not an easy one. In the course of searching, I had talked to and sent letters, and I sent resume information and all the things that were asked to over 45 men, all very capable of being our youth pastor. And I can count for you the numbers on my hand that would respond and say, I'm willing to come to Newfoundland. I can count them on one hand, and I don't need all my fingers to do it. Now, that's a lot of time invested in drafting those letters and sending them out and communicating through email, having phone conversations, and in the end, I got a handful of men that said, I'd be willing to come. And God opened the door for one to come. And there is. That's an answer to prayer. And not only was it an answer to prayer for this church, it was an answer to prayer this year for our school as Jen took on some of the teaching responsibilities, and it has been a help and a blessing to us. But they have come to join this work, to be under me and responsible to run our youth ministry. He answered that prayer. They have now settled into a new home. They've jumped into a new ministry. They're even expecting another child. God answered prayer. We have a youth pastor that is dedicated to ministering to our youth. I said it to you Friday night, and I'll say it again, and I've said it to him in his presence. I have very high expectations for our youth pastor, and I will hold him to it because I am concerned for the youth of our church. But folks, I cannot physically be both a youth pastor and a pastor. I cannot be in two places at one time. Sometimes you might think it'd be nice. I'm happy being at one place at one time. But we have a man that God has brought to work with our youth. And all that you can say is that God answered that prayer. By the way, he sent me information the first time around, and it never came to me. Never arrived, never came to my email account. Something happened. He contacted me almost a year later and said, "Did you ever get the information that I sent you? I heard you're still looking for a youth pastor." Nope. Looked through everything, looked through all my email accounts, not a thing. But in the right time, God opened the doors. We have seen his answer to prayer for a youth pastor for our church. And we ought to give God the praise for that. We have seen the answers to prayer in a promising year in our academy. I mentioned these things Friday night. But folks, each year that I've been here, we have seen the Lord bless our academy, and we've seen our academy slowly increase. We have a verbal commitment next year for 7 to join our academy in kindergarten. By many standards, that's a pretty big kindergarten class for us. Well, that's exciting to see that. We have a verbal commitment for another child in 3rd grade. God has been blessing. You say, "Pastor, how do these people find out about it? Are we advertising?" No. It's because we've taken and we've done the hard work, made the necessary changes to provide a better education that parents are very pleased with, and they are going to others within their churches and their family and say, "Use First Baptist Academy." We've had some that have left and realized that that was a big mistake for them, and they want their children in our school. Folks, we did a lot of hard work. We did what God wanted us to do, and he is blessed, and we're seeing his blessings and promises for a new year. I'm excited about that. By the way, our school ministry doesn't just affect the academy. Because of the school ministry, we're seeing greater impact in our other ministries, primarily youth group and master clubs. Many of the young people who come on our Wednesday night programs are from our school. Their churches don't have anything like that for them in some regards, at least not on that evening. But they tend to come here to be with us, and we're able to minister to them and help them in many ways. All that we can attribute to is God's goodness as we have faithfully fulfilled his vision. Can I also say we've seen God's answer to prayer and seeing new faces in our church? It's exciting to me to look around Sunday by Sunday and consider the new people that have joined with us in some way or another, some just by means of attendance, yes, some by means of actual membership, to be a part with our church, and they consider it their home. Folks, that's God's blessing. That's God allowing his work to go forward. A lot of that is happening, some of it by means of the website, some of it by other people who would share it, some of the people finding it and God directing them here. But what we're finding is new people coming and joining with us. And that's exciting to see. We want to be able to reach out, and we want to see that happen over and over again. It's exciting for me as a pastor to see some families coming and they're joining with us, and they come from a completely different background. And other members of my church coming to me and saying, "Pastor, would you be bothered if I did a discipleship program with them? Because I want to help them grow." Anyone can ask me that question, and I won't tell you no. You want to thrill my heart? Ask me for discipleship materials and take someone under your wing. That's exactly what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing. All of that, folks, is an answer to prayer. I want us to focus on his goodness. I want us to see that week by week. I want you to see another number tonight. We shared this with our folks Friday night. Lowell's going to be real happy with me tonight. I changed his graph and made it more colorful. So I figured I'd have to do that for him. He was so disappointed in me that I didn't. I thought it looked beautiful on my presentation, and then Lowell just, didn't like it. when you know, chairmans, what can you do with them? But I want you to see what the Lord has done over the last 11 years. For those of you who haven't seen this, we'll briefly explain it to you. But you see two simple numbers there. Sorry, it's not as clear as it is on this. It really is very colorful. But what we need is a projector that has a little brighter lumens, because this building is so large and so light. Okay? But that's orange and blue. It is colorful. Okay? The orange lines represent our total receipts, the monies that have come into our church in total every year since 2001. The blue line represents the offerings, our current offerings. When you look at our budget, we mention what our current offerings are, and we mention our total receipts, because we include things like the academy, we include things like HST receivables and other things, and it's a total amount of income that comes. And what you see is you see some changes and fluctuations, but over the last few years, it's been steady in both areas of our current offerings and our total receipts. As Lowell did some of the work with some of these numbers, he called me one day or sent me an email, and he was amazed at this next fact, and I am too. In the last 11 years, First Baptist Church gave over $3.5 million to the Lord's work. You say, why is that such a big deal? Because it's a big number? No. Folks, it's a big deal because it proves that year after year after year after year after year, and I won't go to 11, God has been faithful. He has met every need. There has been steady growth, and there has been people of God giving to meet the needs. And again, last year we said, partway through the year, let's add to our debt and to our budget needs. And people responded. And much was given to the capital improvement plan. Folks, as you see those things, the only conclusion that I can come to, and I think it's the right one, is God is good. If you can't come to that conclusion, I don't know what conclusion you come to. And I feel for you if you don't. Because, folks, when I see those things and I look at what's been taking place within our church, I am reminded over and over again of God's goodness. So we want to have the church in focus. And in the weeks to come, I want to walk you through my thought processes. I want you to be able to understand what we need to do and why we need to do it. It's easy for us to assume that as we share these things, well, Pastor has an opinion and I have an opinion. It's just a matter of opinions. Folks, I think I could share with you scripturally that's not actually true. It's not your opinion versus my opinion. And if I can say it this way, if you take that approach, I'm going to guarantee you that you're going to be sorely disappointed in me in the days to come. Because what we're going to share with you is what I really believe, I firmly believe, are the things that the Lord would have us do. In the same way I believed it and still believe it, as we made steps within our school. When we walked in 3 years ago, folks, we took the time and we put a great deal of work into our academy. You can ask Mr. Pickett the amount of hours that we together logged in making improvements to our academy. The old saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. One of the first things that we had to honestly address as we came in was our school. It's not that our teachers were doing a terrible job, but there was a new philosophy that needed to be taught and understood. Remember that vision taught and vision caught? I want to say to you, it's been a blessing to me to work with Mr. Pickett, who catches a vision that you share. And what I did to him, folks, when I came in, is I really said to him, I know what you have done over the last 22 years. Scrap it. We're starting over. Now, most guys would have packed up and found something else to do. But I think it speaks to his character that he said, let's get the work done. And he caught the vision. Now, folks, some looked at me and said, we can never be a traditional educational-based school. We always have to be ACE. No, we don't.
No, we don't. And our kids have benefited from it. Our teachers have benefited from it. So I said it to you this way Friday night. If you want to believe or want to know, how do I know that the vision that we're going to share is going to work? I have to put it to you this way. The proof's in the pudding. Go look and see what we've done in the school. Go see the changes that have made. And folks, that wasn't necessarily me. That was the vision that the Lord had given. We put that vision to work, and we've seen improvements, and we see a growing interest. Because we implemented God's vision. The same now needs to happen within the church. It's now time to lay out for all of us the needs of our ministries, what we need to do in order to accomplish God's given plans for us. Again, in the end, some may not agree with what's put before them. But I'm okay with that. I'm really not going to be bothered if you have a different opinion than what I'm going to share with you. Again, I said to you Friday night, and I'll say it again. You'll hear me say it throughout the time of my tenure here. I am not interested in unanimity. We don't all have to perfectly agree. It is foolish to think that's going to happen. I'm looking for unity. And by the way, it's the unity of the brethren that God says is like the oil that drips down on Aaron's beard. Psalm 133. It's unity. And so in the days ahead, we want to begin to lay those things out. You may not agree, but folks, I want to put it in focus so that we can see together what God has in store for us. I hope you don't take it personal, folks, what we're going to share. As your pastor, I am but God's messenger to you. It's His vision. It's His church. It's not mine. And when He's done with His servant, and He's done with me, pastors will come and go, but churches are supposed to remain. Till Jesus tarry, this church should be here. For the time and the season of this church, God gave you a gift. You may not see it yet, but that gift is your pastor. With that pastor, He gives a vision. And what He asks is that I teach it, that you catch it, and in unity, we implement it for one purpose and one purpose alone, that God be glorified. Folks, in all of this, as we put these things in focus and see it, I want our church to be the lens through which people can look and gaze and behold the Savior, Jesus Christ, and Him alone. Nothing else. So over the next few weeks, we're going to say, and you're going to hear me talk about the church in focus, one that is growing, one that is grounded, and one that is going. To God be the glory. Let's pray together.